One, two, three, record. Football Sack Podcast time once again. I'm Jack.
This is Christian.
Good to have you back listening to us again, folks.
It's great to be back here.
Yeah, it is.
If we ever left.
Did we? Yeah, if we ever left. Did you leave? Because we were only in here the other day. I think, because we did two shows last week, back to back, and now we're back here just a few days later. Feels like we never left.
Yeah, you're
in the same clothes.
Yeah, well, I didn't leave. I slept here.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, that's convenient. That's dedication.
That is dedication, yeah. Actually.
I'll tell you dedication. I drove here to the studio today with my fuel light on in my car.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Scary times.
Oh, yeah, I could have broken down at any point on the way here, but I didn't.
Yeah, that, my friend, is dedication.
Which obviously means that this podcast was meant to happen.
That's it. Remember, the Football Sack team, 100% dedicated.
Yes, that's right. And if you would like proof of that in video form, can they do that?
Well, they can just go to our website and have a look at our little YouTube promo. Yeah. Or simply type 100% dedicated to the sack into YouTube and you'll... see our own little video.
Because I typed in the football sack into YouTube and just got a heap of gridiron stuff.
Yuck.
Yeah.
It's,
which makes sense.
It does.
They were sacking footballers before we were. But we do it better.
That's it. We do it so well.
Predominantly A-League-based show today.
Not much international news for us, really.
No, not a heap. We've got friendly wrap-ups, transfer news... and some correspondence.
Awesome.
And then we'll get through it.
Sounds good.
With our usual mix of bad humour, etc.
Yeah, my favourite.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's the only reason I come in to do this show.
Of course. Just watch Christian make a fool of himself.
Yeah.
And there's the first one.
Yes. To start us off, the biggest friendly on Australian soil for the last week you were at Saturday.
Everton versus Brisbane Roar.
Yeah.
Great match.
Yeah, you said it was really good.
Awesome match. Shots all night long, end-to-end action. It was about a period of 10-15 minutes there. It was just a bit of passing and not much happening, but that compares to 90 minutes in the Sydney FC match. So yeah, it was,
that was the Sydney FC match.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It was really good. Costa Barbarousis was the first A-League player to score against Everton this tour. So they kept two clean sheets.
Yeah.
And they were pretty unlucky actually to not snatch a draw. So,
yeah. That's good.
Yeah, really, 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 really good.
Wait, what was the crowd like?
Crowd 19,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Well, I mean, so it was great crowds, really, because you had 40,000 at Sydney
and then
19,000 at Melbourne.
At both, yeah.
Another 9,000 at Suncorp.
That's
so,
good atmosphere.
Yeah, good atmosphere.
What was the away support like?
Away support was, pretty huge.
Yeah.
Like the whole away stand
was Everton. Yeah,
it was Everton. It was just blue.
Yeah. That's great. They always get good crowds up there for the away team.
Yeah, it was really good. And the opposite end was just fully orange.
Yeah.
It was kind of the two.
Looked like a cup final. Where you have just
that's it.
The stadium is divided in half.
And then you had the lower two levels on each long end. No, it wasn't really any colour. It was just people.
Multicoloured, yeah.
It was actually a really good crowd, eh? So, when people getting into it, I had a bit of chance against Mitch Nichols and stuff. It was brilliant, yeah.
If you say brilliant chance against your own players, you're not a Mitch Nichols fan, are you?
No, he's terrible. He's terrible. Any proof of that, just listen to some of our tweets during the match. And,
yours. Yours.
Totally unbiased tweets against Mitch Nichols.
Yeah, I actually think he's all right, but I'll get shouted down if I dare bring that up.
No, so he actually set up a goal. He had an assist, but it was the only time one of his passes actually went to a player. So
he always looks kind of distressed just because he's got that very fair skin, blonde hair. He always looks like he's just rosy-cheeked, puffed, feeling lightheaded look to him, even like 5 minutes into a game. Looks panicked.
Panicked, yeah, okay. Yeah. I can comprehend
all
that.
The time.
Probably because he knows his next move is going to end up crap, so he's just panicking in advance.
As you would, if that's,
if that's the way you play, yeah.
Yeah.
No, was good.
Poor fella.
Costa Barbarousis, so he's looking really good. He scored heaps of goals.
But the goods, yeah. He's pretty much scored every game he's played or close to.
Pretty
it,
much, I think, yeah. Well, one or two friendlies. He only played, so many minutes. He didn't score, but I think every game he's had a decent contribution. He's, falling back of the net. So,
great stuff.
Yeah, Brisbane Roar are licking their lips in anticipation for that.
Yes.
And, Should be really, really good.
Good. Our other sort of big friendly from the weekend was two LA clubs going head-to-head. It was Sydney and Central Coast at the Showgrounds in Sydney.
Yeah, it was the first football match at the Showgrounds since its redevelopment.
Yes.
So I didn't get down there, obviously, because it's in Sydney. But, yeah, by all records, it went pretty well.
2-2.
2-2. There. Yeah, so Kwasnik and Simon scoring for Central Coast, yep. And the Busy Bees, Brosk and Bridgie.
The Killer Bees.
Killer Bees.
Yeah. Do you know what used to shit me about Matt Simon?
What is
the fact that he wore number 2, that shitted me because he was a striker.
He was a striker, yeah.
It really, really would grind my gears.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Numbers are really meaningless and less now, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, when it was 1 to 11, it made sense what position on the field you were. Like, your number 9 played up front.
Yes.
Your number 10 was your playmaker, whatever. But 2 up front just...
It's strange, isn't it?
It just, he always looked like he was a centre-back out of position because he's so tall. Yeah, it used to frustrate me.
Who wears... Someone wears 101. Is that, over in Europe, some player actually just wears 101.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the Socceroos in the Asian Cup qualifiers all wear about 100 plus because they have that stupid rule that you have to wear the number. The AFC has this stupid rule where you have to wear the number on your shirt that you're that number to represent your country in that qualifying campaign.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, when Tommy Orr played against... Indonesia.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He wore number 121.
Okay.
So it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
There's a bloke in Scotland. I think he plays for like Hibs. I think it's Derek Reardon or something like that. Wears 00, which
that's
is cool. Strange.
Yeah, it's very. That's NBA happening. That is.
Yeah.
But like, if I was
William Gallas wore number 10 at Arsenal, despite being a centre back, and apparently Wenger gave it to him because he didn't want a new signing coming in to have to wear Dennis Bergkamp's number and follow up in Dennis Bergkamp's shoes, which is interesting.
There you go. Cool.
But that's slightly contradicted because he gave 14 to Theo Walcott, which Thierry Henry had left. Yeah.
It's kind of a, like, if I was like a big if, but if I was like a professional soccer player, man, I'd get like a crazy number. I'd get like 69 or something on my back.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What, I'd be a bit simple. I'd try and make the first 11. Just so you don't feel like a squad player.
Yeah, okay.
You see those Bolton Wanderers blokes, like, you know, mid-40s on their back, and you sort of think, yeah, you're only going to play in the League Cup.
Mm. Well, it's kind of like, not soccer related, but I was watching the old grand final, Balmain versus Canberra Raiders, the old NRL grand final from the 1990.
Yeah,
and there's like
90s,
players
yeah.
there in jerseys like 42 and 44 and stuff. It's kind of weird seeing. But anyway, moving along.
Yeah.
We'll
pretend we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, no.
We'll just edit that out in post-production. I might leave it in just to make a fool out of you.
Ooh, ouch.
We've got Perth Glory. Had a win minus Robbie Fowler as well. Beat Armidale. 2-1.
Armidale, yes. Yeah. Yes. If you're Carly Fly, our own very good listener. She
Tweeter. Slash writer.
Yeah, writer now. Yeah. She had a guest-submitted article, our second.
Yep.
So bit of a good read, so get on site, check it out.
Is it good? I haven't read it yet.
No, it's good. It's
yeah,
good.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Good. It's very, it's surprisingly unbiased as well towards.
Really?
Sports. Yeah. So
that's difficult to do. I can't write match reports about the Hammers.
Mm.
I'm terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I've never tried writing one about City, so I wouldn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Speaking of writing on the site, we've got our first of our season previews is up there now.
We do by the magnificent Jack Quigley.
Yeah, he's really, really handsome. I've heard.
So I've heard. I haven't had the honour, but...
So is that Jonathan Rhys-Meyers bloke who he looks exactly like, apparently. We started with Sydney FC, defending champions, so you can go to the site, check that out, see who's in, who's out, and what we think of those ins and outs, how they'll line up for the season and their expectations. I think they will start favourites to win the league. What do you think?
For sure. Yeah. They have to be favourites. You can't be double champions and...
The thing that I think is, will they go into this season with their first back-to-back coach for like back-to-back seasons?
Kind of. Terry Butcher had half a season, and John Cosmina had half a season,
and then the full season was one after, of course. Yes. Yeah. I think that's the big one, and then obviously Nick Card, Scott Jamieson, Liam Reddy, etc. Kofi Downing back from injury, friend of the show here. Mm-hmm. Seb Ryle, hopefully he's put his problems behind him, and hopefully he does well.
Yeah, I think so. They can keep injury free, those two, who you just mentioned. They'll go well. They've got... Kofi especially has an international career ahead of him.
There was a comment on my article on the site from Christy.
Yes.
Who I assume is our Christy the Sydney FC.
Sydney FC girl, yeah. Yes.
And she said basically that. She said, Kofi Downing, the Carol Kissel, well, she was another one, because Matt said the same thing when I sent the article to him to say, have a look. He said, yeah, I agree about Carol Kissel, because he's obviously a Sydney fan as well. Christy said the same thing. Carol Kissel is the one who has not been replaced yet. But Kofi Downing could be. Hayden Fox could step up. Mm-hmm. She thinks Sebra might step up for the centre-back pairing as well, which I'd like to see.
That's it. The question, which I think you raised and I also have myself, is how long can Hayden Fox keep going?
Yeah, because we don't think he'll be he's kind of like Ledley King in the sense that you can't see him playing three games in a row.
No, not at all.
Without some sort of something grinding against itself and falling apart.
What a story King was, though. Like, he couldn't even train. He couldn't run, yet
he doesn't train during the week.
Yeah.
He just plays matches. He just rides the bike in the gym, which is unbelievable.
It's unthinkable, especially for a top four club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was,
But to keep your sharpness about you and your ball skills and your control and touch, he's a freak footballer.
He's a freak, yes.
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yeah, well done. So you can check that out on the website.
Yeah, and if you think we missed anything, send us an email or just comment the article.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, let us know what you think. And if you, because we're obviously going to preview your club at some stage, send us thoughts about your club. Yeah, in advance, and we might shout you up and mention or something.
Yes. On here or and in the article, perhaps.
Yeah, and or.
Yes. Transfer news for the A-League. Adelaide United, their new coach, Rudy, which we should have more Rudys of in the A-League.
I think so.
He's made his first signing. It's former Sydney FC and Gretna player Ian Ramsey.
Yeah, okay.
So, cool. I think it's safe to say it's not a highlight.
No, not a highlight. Hopefully more to come from Rudy. Rudy and his Reds.
They'll be pretty solid again, I think.
I think so,
especially with Van Dijk up top.
That's it. That's their big signing, I think.
Yeah.
Sergio Van Dijk. He's he was one of the most prolific strikers in the A-League history.
Yeah,
like not even exaggerating.
Yeah, it took a while to get going, and then just could not stop scoring.
Took honestly 10-11 games.
Yeah,
he only scored a penalty in those 10-11 games, and one day he just hit this free kick from about
of course,
so far out, like 30 yards out or something stupid.
Yeah. That against the Mariners or something.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, and then he went on to score 10 in his next 11 games.
Yeah,
and missed out in the Golden Boot by one goal.
Made Smeltz a really late charge, and Smeltz kept him out.
And and he just hasn't been able to stop scoring since. Even in the Asian Champions League for Adelaide, he was scoring.
Yeah.
So,
great.
What kind of is an interesting thing for me is that next year he'll be eligible to play for Socceroos. Would you give him a go against the Asian teams?
Yes.
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
How old is he? Close to 30.
Yeah, I think he's mid to late 20s.
I'd definitely give him a go against the Asian teams because if we don't have our better strikers from Europe, we don't have many out-and-out goal-getters in the A-League, who are Australian.
Mm.
So I'd give him a crack.
Yeah, for sure. Cause,
I'd also give... who am I thinking of that used to play for Brisbane and then Adelaide and then the defender and now plays in Japan or China... the big fella with the beard.
Not Bosnar.
No. The one that used to have fights all the time with Zulu at training, ripping him about his hair.
No idea.
Ognoski, yes. God, yes. I was right on the tip of my tongue. Couldn't think of it. Big Sash. I'd love to see him get a game for the Socceroos as well. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, okay. No, fair enough.
For those Asian games, I'd like to see him play.
That's it. What I don't get about Sergio van Dijk is that he's half Dutch, half Indonesian. He's not going to make the Dutch team, obviously.
Yeah.
Why haven't Indonesia called him up?
I didn't know he was half Indonesian.
Yeah, there you go. That's why he's a little bit weird looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. I haven't heard any news of him being called up.
He
might have been called up secretly and rejected. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
he's never played international football?
Never played international football at any level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Speaking there of the man who pipped in for the Golden Boot, Shane Smeltz is back.
He is back. He's I'm
quite happy about that.
Yeah, he stayed in China for the in his
48 hours.
He stayed in China 48 hours, his home city, for less than 24, and then just went bail and just left.
Yeah, he said he just couldn't picture his family being able to settle there at all, which is understandable.
Yeah, he didn't actually according to the club. It's his story versus theirs. He didn't even tell the club that he was leaving. He just left. And his PR guys had to cover the mess.
Gold Coast, he didn't tell, or Shandong?
Shandong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that's an official press release from Shandong. So
that's interesting.
But who knows? Yeah, because Gold Coast never actually officially transferred him. The transfer never went through. So yeah. He's still a Gold Coast player.
Yeah, never was he? He just went to check it out. Yeah. They also picked up Jess Van Stratten. They've lost Jess Van Stratten.
Yes, yeah, well, it's a bit of a...
it's a merry-go-round.
Dog and merry-go-round. Yeah,
it's musical chairs for goalkeepers in the A-League at the moment. Liam Reddy's gone from the Phoenix to Sydney. We've had Mitch Langerap's move from Melbourne to Germany. Glenn Moss has gone from Melbourne to the Gold Coast, and Jess Van Stratten's gone from the Gold Coast to the Mariners to replace Danny Vukovic, who's gone to Turkey.
Yes, who started the whole thing off.
Yes, so...
It's all a bit confusing now after all this merry-go-round, nobody knew what happened. They're just swapping goalkeepers all over the place. The smoke's gone down and Melbourne Victory's gone, oh, we actually don't have a goalkeeper anymore.
Yeah, we got rid of two really good goalkeepers.
So it's going to be interesting what they come up with. So obviously it's not over yet, unless they, maybe that's why they signed Kevin Muscat to a one-year deal. Chuck him back in
goal. Yeah, just going to stick him in goal so he can swear.
I would actually love to see that.
Yeah, just have shots raining down on Big Kev. I'll tell you, I always kind of thought I respected him, mm-hmm. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. However, I don't anymore after his crap commentary with SBS.
Oh, yeah. I just remember when I first saw him commentate the first game, the South African match, I go, you know what? I don't mind the Vuvuzelas anymore.
Yeah, there was a great quote, because I said to a friend who we were watching the final, and I said, when I was devastated, because I was really hoping SBS would pull out the big guns like Martin Tyler to call
it. Like they have in the past.
Yeah, which they should. You know, he's known as the voice of football for a reason. David Bashir is not. And, you know, David Bashir, you can have the Golden League Athletics all to yourself. We're not going to challenge you for it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and I just said to my mate, look, at some point during the next 90 minutes, he will shout the wrong name when somebody has a goal-scoring opportunity. It took about 10 minutes to happen. Mm. The best one, and it was quoted in the Fitz Files in the Sydney Morning Herald on Saturday, came when he yelled out, and the quote was, he's gone for it, and it's in! No? Well, it looked like it was in. It's a World Cup final, mate. Nerves are on end.
Was that Bashir or Muskie?
That was Bashir.
The bash. It's the media term for having a bit of a guffaw while commentating.
It's the new Barry Crocker. He just had a bash. Yeah. Because he also did that in the Socceroos game against Germany. Remember, like a minute into the game, we got a corner and it kind of was kicked around the penalty area, almost fell for Richard Garcia.
Yes, yes.
And he's just yelled, and it's in! You know, as the ball's getting cleared to halfway.
I do remember
that. Yeah, and that was, for me, that my heart jumped when he said that. Yeah. And I hated him ever since.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's the reason why we lost to Germany. If it wasn't for that, we would have won.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Batchy.
You idiot.
Oh, God.
And you also look like Mr. Potato Head when you take off all the pieces. He does.
It's true, actually.
Yeah. You have a look at Mr. Potato Head. Take off everything but the eyes.
Clock it on a suit and there
it
is.
And it's like separated at birth. David Bashir. It really is.
I love it.
Twin brothers.
Yep.
Well, the SBS crew just look like fake toys because Craig Foster looks like a Thunderbird.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He does.
He really does look like a Thunderbird. Does. He looks like he should be sort of launching some sort of ship from his control panel.
Didn't he get emotional during the World Cup?
Les Murray looks like one of the old guys from the Muppets that sits at the theatre up the back.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
well, you go through the whole squad here, really, but
then, anyway. Mariana Rudan. She just stuck her in the Barbie pop.
She's not that good looking.
she's a brat, so I don't care.
Wellington Phoenix have offered contracts to a couple of players. Roberto Carlos, not finished yet. Conejo.
Oh, got excited for a second.
Yeah, it's not Roberto Carlos.
Roberto Carlos Conejo.
Yeah, Conejo. And Jamal Johnson, he's coming from MK Dons, if he accepts the offer.
Cool. Carlos, is he the Argentinian?
Yeah, he's the playmaker.
Yeah. Cool. We're getting a lot of those in the A-League, which I'm a little bit excited about. And as I know, you are too.
Yes, I'm quite excited about Argentinians and playmakers. Mm-hmm. I think just the more attacking players that come to this league, the better.
That's it.
You know, rather than defensive midfielders.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, like, because Manchester City had the Brazilian influx, obviously. We had the Joe, Alano, Robinho, Giovanni, and to a lesser extent, Silvinho.
Yeah.
And
he's quite good, though, I thought, Silvinho.
He is.
He just looks 45.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
Grey hair running down the wing.
But, and let's see, Alano, Joe, Rubinho, and Giovanni, they've all left a club for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And I think all the Manchester City fans are like, bugger them. We want the Argentinians. You know, we had Tevez, Pablo Zabaleta.
Yeah.
They had the really, you know, the guys put the heart in the sleeve kind of thing. I love Tevez.
Carlos Tevez doesn't put in a 50% shift, does he?
I remember watching the first derby where Van der Sar was like clearing, like just doing a clearing kick, and he did the big Superman. Fully just dived.
In that game that finished 4-3 at Old Trafford, Michael Owen scored the winner. They scored. I think it was Gareth Barry who scored, mm-hmm. and Carlos Tevez. Yeah. It all came from him putting pressure on Van der Sar.
Yeah, he just stole the ball.
He chased a ball that nobody else in the league would have chased.
A nothing ball.
Yeah.
And like obviously, you know, everyone knows about that because that's the one City game they watched all year.
Yeah.
Because obviously, I've seen every single City game.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Tevez
does it all the time.
He set up or scored over 10 goals like that this season.
Oh, he did it. Did it at West Ham 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. Just would not stop running from start. Except Alan Kerbsley wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Until the final game where he wasn't actually registered by them or whatever.
What? He was, no.
Well, what happened there? What happened there?
Look, I get this all the time.
Yeah.
And it really annoys me. People say, oh, he shouldn't have been playing.
Why does it annoy you, Jay?
Well, he was never ineligible to play. He was no longer playing for Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
He was not yet playing for Manchester United.
Okay.
So who were we supposed to say you just can't play for anyone?
Okay, yeah.
He was fine. The issue was about third-party ownership of his contract. That's the reason. And I get blokes look at me in pubs, and they don't even have to say anything. And I look at them. I put my beer down and I say, right, I know the way you're looking at me. You know I'm West Ham, and you're about to come. You think he was ineligible to play, and he wasn't. Look, I won't go into it.
Yeah, okay,
not that I just did. But yeah, he was never ineligible to play. It frustrates me that they say
people say
the issue is about third party ownership of his contract.
It's alright, Jack.
And of course, the classic one is Sheffield United fans say if he didn't play that last game of the season, you'd have gone down.
Remember, folks, we're not getting into this.
Yeah. No, if he didn't play, instead of winning that game 1-0, we would have drawn 0-0 and you still would have gone down.
Yeah, no, fair enough. They're looking for excuses.
Idiots.
Anyway, last thing I was just going to say on the whole Argentinian thing was just hope we don't get any Zabaletas. They do a magical thing and they just get sent off every 3 matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like suspended for 3 matches, plays 3 matches.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's next?
Brisbane Roar signed Juan Carlos Solorzano, is it?
Solorzano.
Yeah, like that. Costa Rican.
Costa Rican on loan.
Yeah.
He's never played outside of Costa Rica.
Yeah.
But apparently he's a lethal finisher.
I won't even try to say the name of the club he came from.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit weird. But he didn't play against Everton. But a few weeks ago, a month ago, everyone said Brisbane Roar's biggest failing is going to be their strike force
because
they have Van Dijk. But they have Costa Barbaruso, who's piling him in for fun.
Yeah.
We got this news, he's an out-and-out striker. But of course, you know, they get Minshew, probably play defensive midfielder if you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
Dwight York.
Yeah.
From Costa Rica, he's played with Carlos Hernandez and everything.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Like, he actually, I think, called Carlos Hernandez to ask him if he should come over.
Is he an international, this boy?
He played juniors with him, I think.
Oh, okay.
Don't quote me on that. He might be an international, I'm not sure.
Yes.
And then you still got Ronaldo, who, when he strings 3 games together, scores 5 goals.
Quite good, yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Right, so that's our A-League transfers for our Aussies abroad. We've got some news. Obviously, the big news is Harry Kewell has signed a one-year extension is about to sign a one-year extension at Galatasaray.
Yes, very nice.
Which is good. Well done, Harry.
So he's going to spend another year with Lucas.
Yes,
and hopefully Vince Grella.
Vince Grella. Sound of it, yeah. Brett Emerton has signed a new deal with Blackburn Rovers.
Cool.
So
cool.
He'll be staying there.
With Big Sam.
Kyle Nix. I'm still sick, for those of you who are wondering. Nobody sent me any soup or anything.
Come on. info@thefootballsack.com.
That's right.
Soup.
Yes. Yeah, if you want my home address, email info@thefootballsack.com. I'll send it to you confidentially, and you can courier me some chicken soup.
How freaked out are you going to be when people actually just ask you for your address?
Yeah, I'll give it to them. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, who knows?
Come tidy the house for me. It's a state at the moment. That's the first thing I'm doing when I get home. Carl Nix, who's currently playing for Mansfield Town in England, he's going for a trial with Sparta Rotterdam.
Well, there you go.
Which would be a great step up.
I think so.
Good luck to you, Kyle. And the one that annoys you the most is Brett Holman is being strongly linked to a move to Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's a strange move, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, yeah, after all the, honestly, like, good work Holman's put in the Dutch league last year. He's actually
finally starting to come
good. He's actually playing really well.
Yeah.
You don't want to waste it by going to a kick and chase league and team in Rangers.
Yeah.
It's, it would be a, okay, in, you know, club, like, history or whatever, it'll be a step up.
Yeah.
But in actual skill, talent, tactics, it's going to be a step down.
Yeah. Like, first of all, let me just say, I like the Scottish league in terms of, you know, some terrific old clubs,
mm-hmm.
great history, great fans in that league. But, you know, they're kidding themselves if they think the quality of football is as good as the Dutch league.
Yes,
it's not. And I just think for the development of a footballer, you know, he's playing in the Champions League at AZ Alkmaar. I don't see why you'd go to the Scottish league.
That's it. Yeah, like I said, yeah. If you're looking for historic clubs or the best fans in the world, you can't go worse.
Oh, you can't go better than the. You'll get worse. Ouch.
You can't go better than.
Can't go worse than Gretna against. who's another small team in Scotland? Saint Mirren.
Yeah, Saint Mirren. Yeah, but anyway,
who's Terry Butcher coaching now? It's Inverness Caledonian Thistle. That's who he's coaching. They've just been promoted back to the SPL.
Oh, there you go.
They are the source of the best ever football headline in the history of the world. Do you want to hear the story?
Yes, yes.
They beat Inverness Caledonian Thistle is a bit of a mouthful.
Yes.
So they're known as Cali for short.
Okay.
They played Celtic in the Scottish League Cup about 10 years ago. Beat them. Massive upset, as you can understand. The back page of the newspaper the next day read, "Super Cali go ballistic, Celtic are atrocious."
God.
How good is that?
That is actually awesome.
That's the best football headline ever. That will never be topped.
It really has to be. Yeah. Oh, I heard a really good football chant the other day. Like, it was not that like clever or good. It was just...
Often have to be clever to make me laugh at football games.
I just listened to it. I went,
Jermaine Defoe is... I can't say the last word of that one, but I like that chant.
I just listened to it. I just went, that is awesome. It was... Manchester City in there friendly with Portland.
Yeah.
The Portland Timbers, I think it is. Yeah. And, yeah, there's some chanting and they somehow turn the word Timbers into Tetris and then the whole crowd starts singing the Tetris theme. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's great, but how do you get two Tetris from Timbers?
I'm not sure. If you want a YouTube...
What is the Tetris theme? I'm trying to think of it now.
Oh, I probably could do it off the top of my head, but yeah.
We'll find out. We'll find out. Before the end of the show, we're going to find out what the theme is.
Get our producers onto it.
Yeah.
But like, all you have to do is YouTube Tetris Portland Timbers, and it comes up, and it's
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty. I just listened to it. Went, that's awesome.
That is very good. If they've made that link, oh, well done. We've got international transfer news to cover. Joe Cole has switched places with Yossi Benayoun at Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a player swap with. And, yeah, I think both clubs would probably be happy with what they've picked up.
Yeah, well, we were saying before, they're pretty much the same player.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Very, very similar players, both technically very good, both creative players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you'd let Yossi Benayoun go. He scored like 3 hat-tricks for Liverpool as a midfielder in the 3 seasons he's been there.
It's weird, they've been letting up their strongest players go lately, but yeah, Roy Hodgson hasn't failed wherever he's been, so I gotta,
give him... You have a look at his CV. God, he's had a good career.
Oh, hasn't he?
Manager. Yeah.
Like, He's
most of it out of England.
Well, that's the thing. He's English, Blackburn English Rovers. Born.
Yeah,
but all his coaching training has been in continental Europe.
Yeah,
and I think it shows. Like, I personally think he's one of the best English managers around.
Very shrewd. He's looks like he's going to be replaced at Fulham by Martin Jol.
Okay.
Which I'm a little disappointed about because I quite like Martin Jol, and I would have liked West Ham's owners to go after him rather than Avram Grant. But
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, it's funny. You can never really be sure what's going to happen with managers until you actually, you know, have them.
Like,
was it Ramos? Was it Ramos went to Tottenham? Or
Sergio. What was the bloke's name? I should remember him because he presided over one of the worst periods.
Yeah, in Tottenham's history. Yeah.
Which I was loving.
Yeah,
what was that bloke's name?
And then he went to...
It was
to,
Ramos. It was...
And he went to Real Madrid straight after.
Yeah. Buggered up Tottenham.
He like lost the first 9 games or something.
Yeah. Oh, they were like bottom
of the league. Something like that.
Oh, for the Tetris song.
That's it. Yeah.
There we go.
I remembered it just as we find it. Awesome.
Turn that up for you so you can hear that at home. Just so we're not just enjoying it to ourselves this year.
Attention. It has potential as a football chant, and Portland picked up on it.
I reckon that's great. Well done to... well, we should. Can we also get that Man City one up by the end of the show? That'd be good if we could.
Yeah.
Which, when is the end of the show? It's going to be coming up fairly shortly. We should keep going with this transfer news. Did you have something to say just then?
We're talking about...
You drew breath. Yeah, you drew breath, and then I thought...
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, I was just breathing. You know, have to capacitate my lungs to survive. And for this podcast to go on.
Yes.
Mm.
Well, no, I could just do it by myself.
True.
Cesc Fabregas is this season's Ronaldo / Carlos Tevez in terms of summer saga.
Yeah.
So everybody's sick of.
Every transfer window has had one or two. And this is definitely it. Barcelona and Arsenal apparently being going back and forth saying we want him, we can't have him, we want him, we can't have him. I'll give you some money. That's not enough. But you said we can't have him. Well, too bad. You need more. And it's just been going on and on. Although, of course, there's been no official media releases by the clubs. It's all apparently happening behind the doors.
You get the feeling where there's smoke, there's fire.
But it's kind of funny. Like you generally can have this feeling whether it's going to happen or not. And I don't think it will happen this window. I think it might be.
Well, they don't have to. He's still got 5 years on his deal. So if Arsenal don't want to sell him. Yeah. They don't have to. Okay. So with Torres at Liverpool, everyone's like, well, he's going to go. He's going to go. Is he going to go to Chelsea? And you sort of think, oh, they don't have to sell him.
Yeah,
he's on quite a long deal there as well. So, I'd like to see Torres stay at Liverpool for the purpose of the Premier League. I think competitive Liverpool is what that league needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see Fabregas stay at Arsenal. Some viewer interaction in response to our chat the other day, listener interaction. We were talking about songs when goals are scored.
Yes.
Noel Fenton, from Ireland, has written in and said when his beloved Shelbourne United score, they play I Feel Good by James Brown.
Awesome.
Which I think is really cool.
That makes me feel pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel good hearing that. That is a really good scored kind of song.
Yeah, because you do feel good when your team scores.
Yeah. And I think you can sort of picture all the fans there. I feel good. Yeah, exactly.
They'd be yelling around to it and dancing around. And
yeah.
It'd be torture for the away team. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. I've got another story. This is West Ham bias, but it was a game at away at Middlesbrough a couple of seasons ago. And their stadium was, half full, as it usually is when you go up there. And they play music when they score, and they scored a goal, so the music started playing, so the West Ham fans started taking the piss that they played music when they scored. We all started dancing to their song. It was that da-da-da-da, so we're all jumping around the terraces having a sing. The Middlesbrough fans are just totally confused, wondering what the hell is going on, looking over at the away team, which is just considered a goal, but is forming conga lines up and down the terraces, celebrating and dancing the goal. Yes.
Well, I thought, say you're coaching a team, right?
Yeah.
To kind of like, you always just looking for that, there's a little bit of an edge, to just kind of throw the opposition team off. Imagine if you get scored against, and then your whole team just celebrates and just slides on their knees and goes really emotional just like 10 seconds after you've been scored against, just like as if you've just scored yourself.
Wow. Why would you do that?
Just to throw the other team off, because the other team would be like, what the hell just happened? And they'd just be on their mind for
A while. It threw off Middlesbrough's fans. Yeah. We were getting done 3-0 up at Man City a few years ago and started just forming conga lines and started singing, let's pretend we've scored a goal.
Yeah.
And then they just count backwards from 10 and then just go ballistic randomly. Meanwhile, someone's taking a throw-in out on the field.
Manchester City, they're a special. I mean, West Ham fans are a special breed.
Yeah, we don't win very often, mate. We have to figure out other forms of entertainment.
Well, at least you're not like us back in the day when we didn't have huge Arab ownership, we used to carry around plastic bananas. So.
You still do. I still see a lot of bananas at Man City games. Yeah, especially away games.
Yes, yes. The cup games are the big ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, cup's fancy dress. A lot of teams will, last game of the season, will traditionally have fancy dress. And that's always great fun. Yeah. I know West Bromwich Albion a couple of years ago, when they went down, their last away game of the season was at Blackburn, and they all got their entire away allocation of 4,000 got given Tony Mowbray, who was their manager at the time, there. So those masks with the eyes cut out. So they walked out the field, there was 4,000 Tony Mowbray sitting at one end of the ground, which is great. That's all we've got time for today.
Yeah,
we'll be back here in a couple of days' time on Thursday to discuss more.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
I've been Jack. That's been Christian.
This has been me.
We will see you in a couple of days' time. See you guys.